Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host tonight is Jackson Courtney. Jackson?
Thanks for having me, Drew. I appreciate you you letting me come on tonight. Just a reminder to all our listeners, if you go to our site, financialconsulate.com, you can find our education center and watch our webinars along with listen along to the podcast and the radio show.
Yeah, that we're. I really appreciate that, Jackson. And we're on an open show tonight too. So that's what we're going to do today is an open show. So if you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Because if you keep calling in and asking questions, things that are important to you, that's the topics we want to talk about. Because that's what this show's all about. This show's all about you and educating you on topics about personal finance to demonstrate what a true professional financial advisor should do for you. And therefore, answering your questions is the most important thing. And maybe it's on Social Security. Maybe it's on your Roth. I was pounding the table this morning with Roth IRAs with Sean Casey and talking about why, you know, the government came up with this rule, Jackson, that next year you can't do your catch-up contribution other than in Roth if you made $145,000 with your company. Now, first off, the question you have to ask yourself is why $145,000? What was so important about that number? I have no idea, but that's the number they chose. And but, you know, the media has been talking about this, like, you know, the government, excuse me, is condemning people to pay taxes and stuff. And I'm like, you know, the government did a stupid thing because this is going to hurt them in the long run, but it's going to benefit all of these listeners who make $145,000 are going to be forced to do Roth. If they come meet with me, I'm going to force them to do Roth too. I'm going to say, you know, you ought to be doing Roth. There are always exceptions, right? There's always exceptions. For example, somebody who wants to move out of state of Maryland when they retire and go to a tax-free state. deferring the income on their 401k would be a wise thing because you eliminate that 8.5% Maryland tax on the income while you're working. You move to Florida, you transfer all that income to Florida, and you get to take it out without Maryland state income tax. For some people, that's an incredible strategy. It's an excellent strategy. But it doesn't work for everyone because not everybody's going to move. Not everyone's going to move to Florida. There's pluses and minuses, you know? So anyway, that might be a topic that you want to talk about. Maybe it's insurances, auto, home, life, long-term care, and get our perspective on it. We don't sell the stuff. We just advise people about it. So yeah, this is an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask your question. And did you have any no callers online, I assume?
Yeah,
right,
Drew,
Jackson?
We actually do have a caller, Dave in Arbutus. Looks like he wants to talk about gold.
Gold. Oh, okay. That's a topic, right?
If we can go to Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call. Gold is an item that's discussed from time to time about inflation, fighter, and this and that. My question is, how does one... if they get gold, how do they transact gold? I've asked a friend of mine who bought $75,000 of gold, and when I asked him, well, how are you going to transact this? And he got very mad with me. But there's
right.
gold, there's physical gold, and there's mutual fund gold.
Right.
So, what's your perspective? Well, physical gold, I don't want to touch it because I don't even know how I could transact it or buy something with it.
So that's an excellent question, Dave. So here's the way you think about this, okay? If you're investing in gold just for the potential inflation protection, which I'm personally not a believer that gold is an inflation hedge, okay? And I can go into all the details about that, But let's assume that you believe that, and I have nothing against it, because who knows, in the future it might prove to be the greatest inflation fighter. But if that's your only purpose for buying it, you buy the gold ETF. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that, because the gold ETF is relatively inexpensive to buy. It's easy to buy. You buy it at the wholesale rate. You sell it at the wholesale rate, minus the tiny bit of exchange-traded discount or premium that you're going to be trading at. But for the most part, you're buying and selling it at a reasonable price to the wholesale market, okay? If, on the other hand, you are a prepper, you're worried about the end of the world, the dollar's going to be worth nothing, the U.S. is going to become Zimbabwe, and things of that sort, then you want to own physical gold, okay? And the problem with physical gold is this. Number one, you normally have to pay upwards of a 5 to 10% commission to buy in. So if the price of gold selling for $1,000, you're going to buy it for $1,050 to $1,100 an ounce. If the price of gold is selling, if you want to sell it and it's selling for $1,000, you're going to have to sell it back to them for $950 or $900. So you've got a big discount. I mean, you got a lot of money you're going to lose when you buy and sell physical gold. And then you have the delivery and security of it you have to care for. I mean, buying and owning physical gold is a very difficult thing. And the people that do it, I just think that they're, a little bit, off their rocker in their thinking. I think that's a good way to put it. I don't mean any insult to them. I just think they're off their rocker a little on their thinking on that.
Yeah. Well, good perspective. One last comment. If things got so bad, as you mentioned, as a bad third world country, I said to him, you already need a couple good pairs of blue jeans and a shotgun.
And a couple big dogs, too. Now, yeah. let me give you a great example. Actually, I got to take a pause. When I come back, I'm going to give you a great example when you'd want to own physical gold that actually just took place within the last few years. And you just listen in, and I'll tell you about that, okay? But right now, I got to take a pause with traffic. We're going to be right back. We're on an open show, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in. Take it away, Trevor. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here on an open show. Co-host Jackson Courtney, ready to greet you, 410-922-6680. If you want to call in and ask a question, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask your question. But I told our last caller, Dave, right? That, yep. I was going to explain the situation. Now, if I was a financial advisor, Jackson, in Greece in 2010 or 2011, and Greece now was on the verge of bankruptcy, and they did not control their own currency because they had turned it over to the euro, right? So they turned the currency of their country over to the euro. And Greece was on the edge of bankruptcy, all right? And there was talk about potentially bailing them out, but they really weren't. I would have been saying to my clients, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to either buy euros and hide them. I want you to get physical euros and hide them in your basement, or I want you to get physical gold and hide it in your basement somewhere. Why? Well, here's what would have happened. If Greece would have really gone into bankruptcy, one of two things would have happened. Either there would have been a complete collapse in the country, and they would have gone into a severe deflation, even worse than what we experienced. But the likely scenario was Greece would leave the euro. They would leave the euro, and they would replace the euro with the drachma again, the old Greek currency. And so what would happen is you would wake up one morning, and there would be a news report that the government of Greece has confiscated your bank accounts, taken your euros, and replaced into the account drachmas, one for one. Immediately, the drachma would plummet in value on the currency exchange markets, but the Greek central bank would be controlling all the euros to make sure that the drachma wouldn't drop down too far, because they're controlling all the euros in the country. And, you know, this is what a country would do like that. Now, if you had gold or you had euros hidden in your basement, you could take some gold out, drive off to Switzerland or somewhere else, Italy or whatever, and take your gold and get more euros anytime you need it. And the gold would hold its value. The euro would hold its value. That's the time you do that. But it's not an issue with the United States. It's not even close. And people who keep making these predictions, if you watch and listen to them, they've been making these predictions for 30, 40, 50 years, depending on how old they are. They're like, you know, like they're just waiting for the time that it happens. They figure it will happen sooner or later, and they just got to keep saying it. Nobody's going to hold them to account for them saying it for 30 or 40 years. And if it ever happens in the future, they'll be a hero. Anyway, let's go to Paul in Randallstown. You got him?
Yep. Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Extension on my taxes for 22. I'm going to get them done the next week here. But I noticed something I hadn't noticed before, the ability to go back and accumulate. I did not itemize my charitable deductions in previous years recently because with the Trump changes, it was a higher threshold, it seemed like. But and now looking at it, they're saying you can go back and bring them forward. Is that correct?
No.
And I was just curious. Okay. I cannot.
No. No. You can only carry them forward if you couldn't deduct them because you were phased out of them. For example, there's a 50% of adjusted gross income. You can carry forward charitable deduction. So in other words, if my adjusted gross income is $100,000, and I did let's just use that the limit is 60% of adjusted gross income right now on charitable gifts. So let's say I made $70,000 of gifts, and so it's over the 60%. I can carry the $10,000 forward to the next year. But if I just can't itemize, those charitable deductions are gone. Now let me explain something to you though. Does your itemized deductions get close, but they just don't go over the standard deduction?
Correct.
See, you're missing a big, 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 big. Do you hear how big that was, Paul? Big opportunity, okay? Here's what you do. You force itemization on your federal tax return. And you say, look, I know that you guys say that $25,900 is the standard deduction, but I only have $24,500 of itemized deductions. I'll tell you what, U.S. government, I'm going to give you $300 more because I just like you. But I don't like the state of Maryland very much at all. And so what I'm going to do is by forcing itemization to you and paying you this $300 more, I'm going back to Maryland and I'm going to say, I'm itemizing with you guys. And when you do, all of a sudden, you're going to get like $20,000 more itemized deductions from Maryland, which is going to be equivalent like $1,300, $1,400 compared to the $300 you just paid the federal government extra. And you come out a winner by, $1,000, $800, $900? We do it all the time. You need to think about this, and you need to go back and amend 2021, 2020, and 2019.
Just the state, you mean?
No, you have to amend both the federal and the state. You see, in the federal government and the state government, Maryland uses the federal government for compliance purposes. What that means right. is Maryland says whatever you do on your federal return is applicable on your state return. That's why Maryland doesn't let you itemize unless you itemize on your federal return. Okay? So you have right. to change the rule on your federal return and say, no, I'm going to itemize Fed because I want Maryland, I want a hunk of flesh out of Maryland for doing this to me, and I'm going to go get my $800,000 extra just by paying the federal government a few hundred bucks more. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, I think I do get it. In other words, I itemize even though the itemizing is going to cost me on the Fed side. I make money on the state side.
Yep, and right. you do this. You should, if you're close, if you're like at 20,000 in itemized deductions, 21, 22, 23, 24, if you're down in the 20 range, you want to test it just to see if it works, okay? And there's a lot of different nuances of this that'll make it work or not work. But if you're up in that 24 range, it's almost a slam dunk. You're like LeBron James hanging up over the rim, ready to slam that ball down into the basket, you know?
Absolutely. All right, very helpful. Thank you.
All right, let me know if you make some money on that, because if you do, I want my commission, okay?
There you go.
All right, Paul, good call. Thanks. All right, let's go to Jeffrey. I don't know if I have enough time to get through to him, but let's try it.
Hey, Jeffrey, how are you?
How you doing?
Good, Jeffrey. What's up?
So I heard that from some you may have mentioned this at a previous show, proposed changes for limitations maybe 20 and 24 for 401ks. It's forcing you to go the Roth IRA route. I'm not sure the details on that, but are they also going to allow you to put more than the $7,000 per person or $14,000 per couple per year into a Roth?
So you're kind of confusing two different laws together there, Jeffrey, okay? But here's my problem. I've only got about 10 seconds right now. You're going to have to hold with me, and I'm gonna clarify this for you when we come back after this break. Can you do that for me?
Sure, I appreciate that.
All right, we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. We got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. We're going to Jeffrey's question. Jeffrey's still there?
Yeah, Jeffrey had a question about Roth IRAs and Roth 401ks. Are you still there, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Yeah. So let me just tell our other listeners that we still have plenty of lines open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Lines are open if you want to ask after I answer Jeffrey's question. Have your question next after Gene. Gene's next, actually. So, Jeffrey, you're confusing two issues. The issue that you're talking about has to do with Roth 401ks, okay? The Roth IRA, there are really no significant law changes in the Roth IRA, except the amount of money you can put into a Roth IRA is $7,500 per person this year. And the income limit that they start phasing you out at is $218,000, I believe, right, Jackson?
That's correct.
Yeah, so
for married filing joint.
For married filing joint. So the good news is that IRA laws aren't really affected by this, and it's $7,500, and the income limit that you start getting phased out is moved up to a fairly good number, $218,000. All right, so let's talk about the 401k. Are you still working, Jeffrey?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so if at the employer that you work at, if you make $145,000 in 2023, when you go to work next year and you start contributing to your 401k plan, if after you've done your initial contribution and then you start doing that catch-up contribution, which is $7,500, they're going to say to you, hey, Jeffrey, you're a really rich person. You're making more than $145,000. How dare you? You're going to pay taxes on that Roth, on that catch-up contribution, because we're not letting you get away with this, Jeffrey. So that's the new law they're saying. But you know what? Jeffrey should just look at him and smile, because he says, oh, wow, force me to do the Roth 401k, man. Force me. Oh, wow, it's horrible, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, because that's actually going to prove to be in most people's best interest to do the Roth instead of the traditional catch-up contribution. So that's where the law's coming in. So you're kind of putting the two together. And here's another quirky thing that's, I think, 2025, Jackson, right? And that is that at the age of 60, 61, 62, and 63, you can add more money, catch-up contribution. It's like an additional $2,500 extra, but it's only for your ages 60, 61, 62, and 63. You can't write this stuff, you know? I mean, these people sit there and think of the most ridiculous concepts I've ever heard of. Why somebody needs to catch up at 60, 61, 62, and 63 for like an extra $2,500. It's just bizarre stuff, okay? You know?
I'm not there yet, but if I can make use of it, it's good to know.
You should be doing Roth 401k most of the time anyway, unless you're planning to move to a tax-free state and know for a fact you're going to move to a tax-free state. Don't do it thinking you might. Do it only if you know for a fact you will.
Well, I mean, I don't think do I always have an option in, let's say, by employer, but they have a 401k. Is there always a 401k Roth option?
That's up to the company. 90% of companies have now added Roth functions, but there's still some Neanderthal companies out there that haven't added the Roth feature. And here's a problem, Jeffrey. If your company does not have a Roth 401k feature, nobody in the company is going to be able to do a catch-up contribution next year, because there must be a Roth feature that those people who made $145,000 or more are going to be forced into. And the way the law is currently written, no one will do a catch-up contribution if your company has not done a Roth component of their 401k. Good question, Jeffrey. Unfortunately, I have to run. I got another couple people online, so I got to run on that. All right, Jackson, who's up?
Next, we're going to go to Gene in Columbia. How you doing, Gene? How can we help you?
I got a kind of a quick question. I know that people can apply for Social Security for disability, but it always have to be what they deemed a total disability. What about people who are born with one arm?
So if you have a disability before the age of 18, you have the potential to get SSI, which is a form of disability for people who aren't able to work at all. But let's say that you just have a disability, like one arm, but it doesn't prevent you from being employed. Then you are not eligible for Social Security. It's a disability that makes you ineligible for employment, and you have to be unemployed for at least 1 year before you can even apply for that Social Security disability. So it's a lot more sounding stringent than way it is actually implemented. Trust me on that one. But your one-armed person has a disability, but if they're employed and can be employed, they do not get Social Security disability.
Okay. I have a relative who was actually run over by a lawnmower when she was 5.
Wow.
Mangled her forearm on her right hand arm, and the surgery at the time back in the middle 60s was so-so. She ended up with her arm, but because of different things they had to do, the forearm never grew.
Wow.
Beyond age 5. And she doesn't have the mobility of her wrist and can't grasp anything with her hand.
Right.
But it's all there physically. This looks terrible. Now, yep. She's been able to, you know, work certain jobs over the years, and she's 62 now and thinking about, well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get a job anyway. Now, she hadn't worked in about 2 or 3 years, and she never worked at a high-paid job.
She can file for disability now, but she's got to do it before she's out of work for 5 years, okay? So she can file. She can say, look, this disability that's been with me for years has now got me to a place that I am unable to work anymore. And they will give it to her. All right, Gene, I got to run.
Thank you.
Couple other callers online. Let's go to John.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Good. How can we help you?
Well, you really piqued my curiosity about the United States is not even close to Greece, not going to fall. But including unfunded liabilities, the per capita debt is $573,920. Dollars each, according to usdebtclock.org.
And I don't disagree with that.
How do you figure we're not going to collapse?
No, I didn't say we weren't going to collapse. I'm just saying I'm not worried about it right now.
Okay, when are you worried about it?
When? I can assure you it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next year. It's not going to be the rest of this decade even. It might be 2050. I have no idea. Right now, there's no reason to think about it. So,
okay,
I'm going to go. We got to go to Steve in Baltimore. I'm not going to debate those things. You know, it's not my job.
Hey, Steve.
He can sit around and worry about that. I'm not going.
Hey,
to.
So you got a question about Social Security?
Yeah. So I've been retired for 2 years. I'm thinking about going back to work for a couple of days, and you know, I can never figure out Social Security plus income and how high they tax your money that you do make when you work. Is there a formula or?
So how old are you right now?
71.
71. There's no, first off, they're not going to take any Social Security away from you like they would have if you were under 67 years of age. Okay, so that's the good news. So you're asking about is what is the taxable, how much of my Social Security is going to be taxable? And the way they determine that, Steve, is they take 50% of your Social Security. So let's say I make $30,000 of Social Security. So take 50% of that. That's $15,000. The second thing they do is they look at all of your other taxable income. And they say, let's say that's $25,000. They add the two together, and they say that's $40,000. If you're single and it's over $25,000, 50 cents on the dollar starts to become taxable. If you're single and it's over $35,000, 85 cents on the dollar starts becoming taxable. If you're married, making $32,000, that adds up to $32,000. 50 cents on the dollar becomes taxable. If it's 44,000 in taxable income married, then 85% becomes taxable. But you're going to have to hold with me if you want to ask more about that, because I got to take a pause with traffic right now. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. Let's see if Steve, are you, Steve still there?
Hey, Steve, still there?
I have a couple more questions.
Yeah, so go ahead, real quick.
Your formula is half of Social Security plus the other income.
Right.
Okay. Now, what are the cutoffs again? Because I missed those.
So for a single person, it's $25,000. It starts to get taxed at 50 cents on the dollar. $35,000, it starts getting taxed at 85 cents on the dollar. Okay? Married couple, $32,000, starts getting taxed at 50% on the dollar and 50 cents on the dollar. And at $44,000, starts getting taxed at 85 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
So if your income is up in the $100,000 range with 50% of your Social Security, you're going to basically be paying 85% of all 85 cents on the dollar of your entire Social Security check.
Wow. All right. Now, the other thing is if my employer has a 401k and I put all my income from that employment in the 401k, does that count as income?
No, it does not count as income. It's your adjusted gross income on your income tax return.
Okay, can I still give it 71 to the 401?
Can you still give, you can give the full $30,000 to the 401k if you're still working.
Okay.
Yeah, and you should do that. Matter of fact, do you have IRAs outside of your employer?
Yes.
You need to roll them all into your employer 401k plan so that when you turn 73, you're not going to be forced to take RMDs. And now's the time to do it, not wait until they tell you you have to start taking RMDs. Do it immediately. Get that money into your 401k plan. Trust me, whoever you're using to invest the money probably isn't doing any better than your 401k plan's going to do. And you can eliminate your required minimum distributions as long as you stay working with that employer. You intend to stay with that employer for some time?
At least 2 years.
Well, you know, if you're going to be there beyond 73, you need to get those IRAs in there, okay?
Okay, and those are the traditional ones.
Traditional, right. Yep. Not your Roths. Roths always stay outside of the 401k. Exact opposite.
Okay. All right, thanks
a lot.
All
right, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Kathy in Dundalk.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
Hey,
Drew. Hey, Kathy.
I've been listening to your show for decades, and I always enjoy it. I have a very unsmart question to ask you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I have not had my accountant said that since I had no earned income for the past 3 years, every time I go to him, he tells me this, that I don't have to file income taxes. So I haven't been filing income taxes. I only have a very decent Social Security check. Now, I've been offered a nice part-time job at my age. It's just part-time, and there will be taxes taken out of that position, of that job. Do I have to go back and I have a house that does a mortgage. I have property taxes, house expenses.
Let me ask you a couple quick questions, Kathy. Do you have any IRAs or anything like that?
No, nothing
okay.
at all.
So, and how much do you think you'll make at that job? $5,000, $10,000?
Probably $30 an hour. But I only want to work part-time at 71 years old, maybe two or three days a week.
2 or 3 days a week for 5, 10 hours, what?
Oh, maybe 5 hours a day.
So 15 hours a week at $30, so that's $300, that's $450. 450 times 50. So you're going to make about $25,000, right?
True.
That's what I calculated, okay?
Yes.
If that's true, you're going to definitely have to file taxes once you start getting a W-2 because there's going to be income taxes withheld.
So
you're going to want to, at the very least, get that back if you're entitled to get it back. But based on the numbers you're telling me, you're probably going to pay a little bit of taxes to the federal and state governments, and probably a little bit of your Social Security is going to be taxable.
But do I have to go back and try to get together all my paperwork from the last 3 years?
No. You just have to file this time forward.
Start all over again, with a blank sheet with filing taxes?
Yeah, you're starting all over again. And here's an interesting thing. If you only work 2 days a week, I doubt seriously you're going to owe any taxes.
Oh, And that may happen. And that
so if you work 2 days a week, that's 10 hours a week, times three, that's $300, you're going to make about $15,000. You're probably not going to pay any taxes.
Okay,
Anita?
I receive $29,000 a year in Social Security benefits. Just plain old Social Security. I worked for 40 years and they
gave me... So it's $14,015. Yeah, so you're still very little you'll owe in taxes if you only work 2 days a week. If you work 3 days a week, you're going to pay a little bit of taxes, okay?
Yeah, I didn't even care about paying taxes. I just didn't want to have to go back and reconstruct 3 years worth of income tax information.
Okay.
In order to get a job.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Good question. Very good question. All right.
I've never, you know, on your show that I've been listening to for 3 or 4 decades, I've never heard that question asked.
Yeah. So. Well, that's a good one. You know, let me tell you something interesting is, you know, the rules we were talking about with Social Security with Stephen. Here's the sad part of this, and this is something that I think all seniors should grab a hold of and absolutely tear into your representatives in the House and the Senate. These Social Security taxation rules were set in 1982. The person in today's world, 2023, that has the same income that would be taxable, adjusted to inflation, as it was in 1982, would be single, somebody making about $70,000 or so a year, and married, making about $85,000 to $90,000 a year. Think about that. These guys, you know, put us like a frog in a pot and then turn the heat up slowly. Greenspan did that to the senior citizens of this country in 1982. He set those income limits without inflation adjustments, and he's boiling the frog in the pot, and the seniors of this country are just sitting back and accepting it. And it's disgusting is what it is.
Yeah. So what can we do about this?
You start getting rally a bunch of seniors, people who are getting Social Security and paying taxes on it, need to start calling their House of Representatives and their senators saying, this is it. You guys need to do something about this. It's time. And I'll tell you, if the senior citizens started getting out of that boiling pot that was turned up slowly on them and start screaming to their senators and their House of Representatives, I will bet you anything that this will be a major topic in the presidential election for 2024. Anyway, I got to run. Great question, Kathy.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, you Kathy. Take care. Jackson, what do you have? We have 30 seconds or so to talk. What do you have to say?
I just I think Social Security is a huge problem, you know, going forward. And
you know, here's another issue, Jackson. And let me say this to anybody out there supporting AARP. I don't know why you support them, because these guys are the guys that should have been saying to Congress for the last 20 years. They should say, you know, hey, you're not inflation adjusting that Social Security taxation. You're boiling my members in a pot, and they're not going to take it anymore. Where's AARP? You know, they'll come alive when it's too late, you know?
Right.
It's just that's a group that just irritates me beyond
It's like they don't even lobby down in D.C.
Anyway, Jackson, we're out of time. This is Drew Tignanelli saying
thanks
God
for
bless.
Having me. Take care.
Things are gonna be much more